Welcome to the Sermon Podcast from St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri. Here are this week's scripture readings and the sermon.
The Old Testament reading is from the book of Deuteronomy. Moses said, "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own people. You shall heed such a prophet. This is what you requested of the Lord your God at Horeb on the day of the assembly when you said, 'If I hear the voice of the Lord my God anymore or ever again see this great fire, I will die.' Then the Lord replied to me, 'They are right in what they have said. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among your own people, from their own people. I will put my words in the mouth of the prophet, who shall speak to them everything that I command. Anyone who does not heed the words of the prophet shall speak in my name. I myself will hold accountable. But any prophet who speaks in the name of other gods or who presumes to speak in my name a word that I have not commanded the prophet to speak, that prophet shall die.'" Word of God, word of life. Let's read Psalm 111 responsively. Alleluia. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright in the congregation.
Great are your works, O Lord, pondered by all who delight in them.
Majesty and splendor mark your deeds, and your righteousness endures forever.
You cause your wonders to be remembered. You are gracious and full of compassion.
You give food to those who fear you, remembering forever your covenant.
You have shown your people the power of your works in giving them the lands of the nations.
The works of your hands are faithfulness and justice. All of your precepts are sure.
They stand fast forever and ever because they are done in truth and equity.
You sent redemption to your people and commanded your covenant forever. Holy and awesome is your name.
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All who practice this have a good understanding. God's grace endures forever.
The epistle reading comes from the first book of Corinthians. Now concerning food sacrificed to idols, we know that all of us possess knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. Anyone who claims to know something does not yet have the necessary knowledge, but anyone who loves God is known by him. Hence, as to the eating of food offered to idols, we know that no idol in the world really exists, and that there is no God but one. Indeed, even though there may be so-called gods in heaven or on earth, as in fact there are many gods and many lords, yet for us there is one God, the Father, from whom are all things and for whom we exist, and one Lord Jesus Christ, through whom are all things and through whom we exist. It is not for everyone, however, who has this knowledge. Since some have become so accustomed to idols until now, they still think of the food they eat as food being offered to an idol, and their conscience, being weak, is defiled. Food will not bring us close to God. We are no worse off if we do not eat, and no better off if we do. But take care that this liberty of yours does not somehow become a stumbling block to the weak. For if others see you who possess knowledge eating in the temple of an idol, might they not, since their conscience is weak, be encouraged to the point of eating food sacrificed to idols? So by your knowledge, these weak believers for whom Christ died are destroyed. But when you thus sin against members of your own family, and wound their conscience when it is weak, you sin against Christ. Therefore, if food is a cause of their falling, I will never eat meat, so that I may not cause one of them to fall. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you,
Jesus and his disciples went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, he entered the synagogue and taught. They were astounded at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Just then there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying out loud with a loud voice, came out of him. They were all amazed, and they kept on asking one another, "What is this? A new teaching with authority? He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." At once, his fame began to spread throughout the surrounding region of Galilee. The Gospel of the Lord. Mark's telling of the good news of Jesus Christ has urgency. With no time to waste, the author has moved from announcing the story to attending to Jesus' baptism with the revelation of God, "You are my son, with you I am well pleased," to temptation in the wilderness, which we haven't heard because we're saving that for Lent, to calling four disciples, and now they head to Capernaum. The author frequently notes, hurries the listeners along with expressions like, "and immediately," and "just then," and "at once." This telling of the story invites all who hear to sit on the edge of seats and attend closely to what happens. It all comes so quickly. Jesus certainly comes with clarity about identity and authority. Remember that bit about "the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near"? Repent and believe in the good news. So today, Jesus and the gang head to Capernaum. On the Sabbath, they went to the synagogue. The author offers this not so subtle reminder that Jesus is a good Jewish rabbi, and Jesus teaches in the synagogue. His teaching, though, sounds different. He speaks from the text, but does not reference other rabbis and other students of the scriptures. Now, in a university town, citing one's sources comes as kind of a natural expectation. But Jesus does not cite his sources. He preaches with a different kind of authority. This authority has unfolded throughout the story. In his baptism, in his wilderness experience, in his articulation of mission, in his call of disciples, and now in his teaching, over and over again, signals glow, pointing toward Jesus and his authority. Then a man with an unclean spirit addresses him. I invite you to stop for just a moment here. Hear what this man sounds like. The campus ministry group, in their Bible study, wrestled with the question of how we hear this man's voice. For some, the voice may have a sinister, accusatory mode, kind of like one we may hear in horror movies. The Exorcist comes to mind. But what if the voice sounds perfectly reasonable? One might imagine an individual in the gathered congregation speaking almost on behalf of the community. What have you to do with us? Have you come to destroy us? Sometimes encounters with Jesus can so disorient individuals and the whole community that they experience a threat to their very existence. Certainly, this unclean spirit recognizes Jesus for who he is, and this reminds all who hear that sometimes those most threatened by the gospel are also the first to recognize the Christ, the beloved child of God. Still, Jesus knows who he's talking to, and the one who is speaking knows who Jesus is. But to the crowd, could they misunderstand the exchange? Maybe, maybe not. What the crowd witnesses next clears any potential misunderstanding. Jesus calls out the spirit. Now, the spirit doesn't go without a bit of a fight, convulsing the man and crying out with a loud voice. Amazement and questions fill the air. What is this? A new teaching with authority? He commands even unclean spirits, and they obey him. So we can add authority over spirits to the list of ways Jesus is different. In the coming weeks, those who gather hear the promise that Jesus brings authority for healing, for forgiveness, for new life. That Jesus can be and do all this reminds all who hear that he brings good news, a new reality, heaven come near. We don't have to go out and find God, to go out and find Jesus. God brings all of this near. Paul tells us in his letters that this comes as a free gift. How does the world, indeed, how does this congregation recognize Christ present among us? In what ways might each one who gathers around these truths respond? Fish for people. Announce good news. Invite people to turn toward God. Seek reconciliation and new life. Like disciples of all time, Jesus invites each of us to join in community, to walk together, and to show the world the truth of God's love, grace, healing, and well-being.
Thank you for listening. You are welcome to join St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri for worship any weekend. More information can be found at saintandrewslutheran.org. That's saintandrewslutheran.org. Have a glorious week.